Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life, share your prayer requests or pray for others, read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
My message this morning, and we're going to move pretty quickly, but my message this morning is called this, The Season of Silence. The Season of Silence. You know that life has many different seasons, doesn't it? All sorts of seasons. Let me give you a few quickly. There's the season right from the outset of childhood. Oh my goodness, how I'd love to go back to being a child. We pulled up in the garage the other night as a family, and the kids are in the car, and actually this is a little while ago now, but the kids are in the car and they're kind of asleep in the back seats, and Haley and I were sitting in the front reminiscing of, remember the days when you were a child but you were not really asleep, but you just made out you were when you pulled up in the driveway because you knew Dad would carry you inside. Oh, how I'd love for that to be my number one concern in life again. There's the season of childhood, there's the teenage years where you think you know everything, and sorry teenagers, but then you kind of get into adulthood and go, oh heck, I knew nothing. And that's not true, but it's true. There's adulthood and all that comes with that, and that's scary. There's parenthood, and that's just messed up. At least it is for me. There's education, there's your career. There's retirement, praise God, in faith for retirement. There's seasons of joy, there's seasons of hardship. There's certainly seasons of heartache. There are busy seasons, there are noisy seasons. I've visited some people and their house is crazy. It's so noisy, there's people flying everywhere and there's pets everywhere and it's feral. There's busy, there's noisy, and then there's this season right here, silence. We're going to have a look at that today. We understand in the natural there are seasons. There's autumn. Autumn's so beautiful. I don't know if you've had the chance, but what a beautiful time of year to go up to the Central Highlands and observe the fagus turning and changing and all the trees. And every day I drive, most days, from home at Shearwater across to Ulverston, and as I approach the bridge at Devonport to come across the river, just all the beautiful autumn trees and the oranges and the reds, and it's just stunning, isn't it? There's the season of autumn. Autumn's kind of a pretty season, but it's a bit of a stinger as well. I was having a chat to Candace this morning. She said, nice jacket. I said, thanks, but I wish I wasn't wearing it. Autumn's a bit cruel like that because you know it's not going to get any warmer, right? There's the season of autumn. There's the season of winter. We'll go there in a minute. It's too early for winter. There's the season of spring. What a beautiful season spring is. And then there's the season of summer. Thank you, Jesus, for summer. You know, we all have favorite seasons. Seasons of joy, seasons of favor, seasons of blessing, seasons of God's goodness. But then in the mix of those seasons, there's seasons just like that called silence. I want to have a look at that this morning. Personally, let me just take you into my world just for a moment. I love the season of summer. If you haven't realized, I love the ocean. I love all things summer. I love long hot days at the beach. Are there any beach lovers here this morning? I love long hot days at the beach. I love family. I love friends. And oh my goodness, do I love barbecues. I love my board shorts. I wish I could preach in board shorts sometimes. You don't, but I do. And I love bare feet. My favorite shoes are no shoes. I have this test coming into every summer season, and it's when the first time you walk across the pebbles with no shoes on. And it's like, oh my goodness, I have some work to do before my summer shoes are ready. Do you know what I'm talking about? I love summer. Then there's winter. We touched on it before. There's winter. Have you ever realized that winter plays no favorites? It can be long, it can be dark, and it can be cold. We're doing this thing in our family at the moment where we're trying to see how long we can go before we turn on our heat pump. And to date, I won't lie this morning, until this morning, it had not been on yet this year. And the only reason it came on this morning was because I forgot to put my jeans in the wash and they needed drying in a hurry. But that's... we're playing this game where we're going to see how far through winter we can go with no heating in our house. I'll fess up, we got the granny blankets. They're laying everywhere right now. It's winter. It can be long. It can be dark. It can be cold. You know, winter's a season that requires some preparation, right? It's too late in the middle of winter to come to the realization of, oh my goodness, I need some dry wood for my fire. You left it way too late. You got to be organized for winter. You know, winter's a season that can test you. I don't know about you, but it gets dark, it gets cold, it gets long, and it can just feel like it goes on and on forever. Does anyone feel like that? Sorry, but winter's coming. It's on its way. I hope you're prepared. Here's the thing, though. I love summer, but I only love summer because I know what summer is because I have something to measure it against. Are you with me? If everything was summer, then summer kind of wouldn't be summer. It'd just be normal. Does that make any sense to you today? I love summer, but winter not so much. I don't know about you, but I reckon there's a whole bunch of people in this room that can relate to seasons in life that perhaps aren't quite as enjoyable as summer. Seasons of silence. I want to take a look at a few verses. And our key text this morning is going to be Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 8. Nick, you can throw that up. And these are the words of Solomon, supposedly the wisest man of his time. And these are his words when it comes to season. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, praise God, and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent. And a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Have you ever had a season, and I'm not just talking about a day or a small moment, perhaps that is the case, but have you ever had a season in which it would seem that God is silent? At least that's how it feels, right? Feels like God's just silent. God, where are you? Has anyone prayed a prayer like that before? God, where are you? Getting lots of nods. Perhaps you find yourself in a season, let me put it to you this way, in which your experience of God, your experience of God does not meet your expectation of God. Are you with me? Can I tell you today, don't despair if that's the case. Don't zone out now because there's some good news. You see, I believe that we all have seasons when we're on our knees doing our very best, praying to God, but our prayers just don't seem to be answered. we're being our best, but not getting God's, you know, what we think is God's breakthroughs and not getting the breaks we would like. The problem doesn't seem to turn around, and it seems as though God is on holiday. There seems to be a deafening silence. There's a quote and it goes like this. I love this. Check it out. It says, when dreams are shattered, when faith is shaken, when there's no easy way out, God is doing his most important work. Oh, I love that. I love that. Let me read it again. When dreams are shattered, when faith is shaken, and when there's no easy way out, God is doing his most important work. Can I hear an amen? Can I simplify it even more this morning? I love stories. I love illustrations. Let me give one this morning. I remember when I was a little boy, and I remember on my dad's side of the family, my beautiful late grandparents had this love, and maybe you remember this as well, but my grandparents had a love for eating something that's absolutely beautiful, and they're called blackberries. Does anyone like blackberries? Oh, come on. I remember my pop in particular, he loved everything blackberry. He loved blackberry pie, blackberry crumble, blackberries and ice cream. And a bit more ice cream. Pop loved it all. I remember as a child, I grew up on the outskirts of town in Circular Head at a place called Christmas Hills, not the one that way, you know, but in Circular Head. And it's a scrubby, sort of bushy type of rural sort of setting. And I remember the first time ever that my grandparents were there and they were at our house, and Pop invited me to, you know, go and pick some blackberries with him. And what a great invitation that was. I was the little boy that I adored my grandfather. I was like Pop's little shadow. Everywhere that Pop went, I was within like an inch of his leg. I just followed him everywhere. What I would give today just to have another moment with my grandfather. I loved him. And I remember when Pop said these words, "Hey, little man, let's go and get some blackberries." I thought, you beauty, my experience of blackberries always looked like that. That was my expectation, if you like, of what was about to happen. I don't recall how old I was. I was fairly young. And Pop says, "Let's go and get some blackberries." I thought, this is going to be great. I know how Pop does blackberries, and it's large. It's a big bowl and it's a bucket load of ice cream. But I discovered something very quickly because my expectation looked like that. Let me show you what my experience looked like. How can something so beautiful be so evil? You see, my experience never ever met my expectation when it came to blackberries. So let me put it to you like this. Did I give up on eating blackberries? You bet you I did not. There's no way this kid was not going to have another feed of blackberries. But I learned very, very quickly that what I saw in the bowl and what I experienced picking them were two vastly different things. I don't know how much you've picked blackberries, but I can put up with those, and I'm not going to put a picture up because you probably freak out, but I can put up with those. That's okay, the prickle, the thorn. But it's those little black slithery things that are often in the bottom of the blackberry bushes that scare me most. My experience never ever met my expectation. Did I give up? You betcha I didn't. So let me put it to you like this morning. So when your experience of God doesn't meet your expectations of God, do you give up on trusting? Do you give up on following Him? No way. No way. You see, silence occupies the space between your experience and your expectation. And it's in the season of silence we begin a journey of discovery and understanding that all seasons have a purpose. Amen. They may not all or always create the environment I like. I love summer. I just wish every day was about 25 degrees with about 2 or 3 foot of swell on the ocean, constant annual leave, surfing, that would just be perfect. I'm pretty clever. I've figured out that life's not like that. And it's the seasons of silence in which we begin a journey of discovery and understanding that all seasons have a purpose. May not be the ones you like. Maybe quite the opposite. But can I tell you this morning, no matter what season you're faced with, God has an incredible, incredible way of knowing what experience I need and what experience you need. Irrespective of my expectations, God knows best what we need. You see, God's silence makes a way for an inner season of growth in each and every single one of us. God uses the season of silence to get us prepared. You see, in the season of silence, your character is being developed. How much we get this wrong? How often do we go to God and pray prayers pleading for God's comfort when actually what we should be saying is, God, would you transform my character? God's more interested in your character than he is your comfort. The day you stand at the gates, you look at God in the face, he's not going to say, how comfortable was your life? He's going to check your character and how you lived. See, in the season of silence, God's preparing us. He's growing your character. It's being developed. You're gaining experience, maturity, strength that you'll need for where God is going to take you. Can I tell you this morning, church, this is good news, that God's actually preparing you to propel you into all that he has for you. Who's excited about that? I don't know if you ever realized this, but, you know, even for the Israelites, there was a massive season of preparation before they entered the promised land. And God wants to prepare you before he propels you into what he's promised for you. Is this making sense to anyone? You see, God will hide you from the promise in order to prepare you in readiness for the promised land ahead of you. God will actually withdraw from you. He will actually pull you away from the promise to prepare you so you're ready for all that he is about to propel you into. I love this quote. This makes sense to me. God is not hiding you to prepare the blessing for you. He is hiding you to prepare you for the blessing. Let me read that again. God is not hiding you to prepare the blessing for you. That's already done. It's already ready. God's good to go. But he's hiding you to prepare you for the blessing. You know, I know it to be true for me. If I hadn't been through what I've been through up until this point, there's no way I'd handle what God has for me today. I look back and go, my goodness, if I just get over myself for a moment and go, look at the way God's prepared me, it is so absolutely perfect, it's not funny. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm saying the way God has maneuvered my life and massaged my life and set me up on a course so I can walk in what I walk in today is absolutely perfect, I hope and pray that you can look at your life and say amen to that this morning. Let me give you a verse, two verses, 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. It says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Can I tell you today that whatever season you're in, wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your world, if you find yourself in a season of silence, can I tell you that no season is wasted and God is preparing you for what He wants to propel you into? Are you with me today? I want to read you some words. These are not my words. I'm not this smart. They are beautiful words, and I thought this sums it up beautifully. This is learning from the life of Elijah. Let me read these words to you, because this paints a beautiful picture. It says this, Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. If you weren't here when Pastor Peter, I'm not sure when it was now, but did a beautiful series on the life of Elijah. Can I encourage you today, get the podcast, listen to it. It is absolutely brilliant. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. After studying and preparing for ministry, when no one else had the courage to speak up, Elijah went to the place and spoke the word of the Lord to a wicked King Ahab. After that, I'm sure he felt confident and ready for his next big assignment. But God said to him, "Leave here, go east and hide by the brook." I can imagine Elijah saying this, "Excuse me, God, but I'm Elijah. I just prophesied to the king and I'm ready for my national tour. Why would I go and hide now? That makes no sense." Elijah wanted to speak to the nation, but for the next 3.5 years, he spoke only to a widow and a son. God hid him. It didn't make sense to him, and Elijah had big things in his heart. But he trusted God's timing and was faithful when he was hidden. When you're faithful in the silent seasons, you're passing the test. You are setting yourself on a launching pad for God to take you further than you had ever dreamed. After 3.5 years, God said, "Okay, Elijah, gee, that's easy to read. Process that one for a second." After 3.5 years, feeling like, "God, where are you? God, why don't you answer my prayers? God, are you even listening? Do you even really, God, really, do you care? Because right now, I'm not feeling it." After 3.5 years, God said these words, "Okay, Elijah, now you're ready. Here's your next assignment." After he was hidden, after his season of silence, Elijah performed many remarkable miracles. Don't fight the silence. Don't be frustrated when you're hidden. It's part of the process. You see, you're on the verge of seeing favor, increase, promotion, as you've never ever dreamed before. Doors are going to open wider than you thought could ever open. Keep being faithful, for your appointed time is on the way. I love those words. I love those words. You have been faithful. Hang on, because your time is coming. I want to give you this morning 4 tips when experiencing God's silence. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but I know it to be true in my world, and the more I talk to people, the more I hear, man, I'm just in a season where it's just like, I know God loves me. I know He hears. I know nothing's wasted. I know He hears my cries, but it just feels like, where is He? Let me give you four tips this morning when experiencing God's silence. Get your pens ready. Write these down. Before I give you the first one, understand this. Your response is your responsibility. No one else can respond for you in your season of silence other than you. Are you with me? Number one is this. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word. Be sure to have regular devotions inviting God to speak to you through His Spirit and through His Word. This also requires one to listen to God instead of telling God what you need. Guilty. God knows your needs better than you do. Isn't it interesting that when it comes to our faith journey, it is so much like our physical journey? Let me give you a story for 2 seconds. Quite some years ago now, I've shared this before, but I loved all things triathlon. I was pretty fit. I was pretty healthy. I was training anywhere around the 20 hours a week mark on top of a full-time job. I was pretty fit and healthy. It was my training week where I had to do a long run. And a friend had told me that I was signed up to do an Ironman. And my friend had told me that, you know, like 90% of the race is mental and 10% is fitness. You want to have good fitness, but the majority of the race is in your head. So he said, prepare yourself mentally. I thought, yeah, I can do that. I'm a bit of a nutter when it comes to a challenge. So I decided on this given night I was going to do the best I could to do a 3-hour run. I used to live in Stanley. I had a 7-kilometer circuit around the Green Hills, up, round, up, round, up, round, up, round. I set out for the best part of 3 hours. To challenge myself mentally, I thought, how could I achieve this? So I downloaded one song on my iPod, and for the next best part of 3 hours, I listened to one song on repeat. That'll test your mental capacity. You could take any song you love, but after 3 hours of one song, I'm telling you, it's testing you. I'm crazy. So I decided to pick a song that I like, Fessing Up. I think it's a fantastic Australiana type of song, and I thought, that's the song. Repetitive. If something's going to break me, that song's going to destroy me. So I downloaded John Williamson, Hey True Blue. And I ran for the next best part of 3 hours. Hey True Blue. You know what's beautiful? My boys love that song. Don't say you got to. Here's my point. Isn't it interesting when we understand the physical body and keeping ourselves fit and healthy, we understand that there are lots of things that we need to do and should do that just aren't exactly what we'd like to do, but they are necessary disciplines that we must keep up in order to keep ourselves in peak fitness. We get that. Can I tell you, our faith journey is absolutely no different? No different. See, when it comes to navigating seasons of silence, we got to be in the Word of God. And I'm not talking about in the Word of God because publicly you need to be in that space. No, 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 no. But because privately it's what you need just to survive every day of the week. A close connection and relationship with God. Number two is this. In a season of silence, can I tell you, you got to pray, pray, pray. Pray some more, pray again. And when it feels like God's not listening, pray some more. And when you're convinced He doesn't care, just keep on praying. And when you're convinced that He's just completely lost His hearing, pray some more. Are you hearing me this morning? Make sure you spend quality time with God each and every day in prayer. Number three is this: remain faithful. Remain faithful. Keep doing what God has already called you to do until you hear otherwise. Too many of us give up and go, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where God's leading me, so I'm just going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs until he tells me what to do. Can I tell you this morning, if you're in that season, I don't want to be hard, but if you're in that season, can you at least do one thing and continue to do the things that God's already asked you to do? Be faithful. Remain faithful. Number four, remember the promises of God. Don't ever forget the promises of God. Study more about God. Study, learn, and remember the attributes of God, because God never ever changes. God's word to us was this: I will never leave you. Come on. Or I will never leave you, or I'll never forsake you. Can I tell you this morning, church, God hasn't given up on you. He might be silent. It's because he loves you. It's because he wants to grow you and stretch you, enlarge your capacity, because what he has for you in the future is bigger. It's bigger. And if he was to propel you today into what he has for you in the future, I don't know that too many of us would handle it well. Here's my closing words. God has an incredible way of knowing what experience I need. God has an incredible way of knowing what experience you need. Irrespective of my or your expectations, God's silence always, always, always makes way for an inner season of growth. God uses the season of silence to get us prepared. You see, your character is being developed. You're gaining experience, maturity, and strength that you'll need for where God is taking you. Because God is preparing you to propel you into all he has uniquely for you.